So let's begin with this biblical context. So look here at the biblical context with the guy next to you. Look these verses up, read them to one another, and let's, in doing that, we are also establishing somewhat of the historical context of what it is that is going on that Paul is writing to, okay? So look up those three verses that I have there on the screen for you. Okay, you guys got it? Still reading? Okay. Here's the question. Okay, what's going on? What's the situation? What's the situation that Paul is speaking into? Talk to me. Okay. Financial need in other churches. What specifically is the occasion? There's a famine. It's in Jerusalem. What else have we learned through looking at this context? Who's poor? The Macedonians are poor. And have they given? Have the Corinthians given yet? No. So we've got a few things going on. We've got a famine. The instruction on giving has to do with giving to other people's needs in a specific situation. We've got the situation of a poor church who has contributed quite sacrificially, but the verdict is still out on what's going to happen at Corinth. Let's look in our literary context to see a little bit more. So I've put these verses for you here. Read those with the guy next to you and say, how does this inform what's going on?
Out of the way, there's there. do not mean that he is the
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to have you move on. I'm going to have you move on to the next one just for the sake of time, and then we'll pull it all together. Let's look at what the historical context is as well. The bigger historical context of why Paul is writing. Not just the situation that he's addressing here, but why is Paul writing? Okay, so let's take a look at these two verses with your group. And ask the question, how does the historical context inform what's going on? Okay? So 2 Corinthians 11, 5 and 12, 11. Okay, so let's come together. I'm not giving you a lot of time. I'm not leading you very well on this. Sometimes you map it out and it makes sense on paper. What is going on in 2 Corinthians? What is Paul dealing with? What is Paul dealing with? What's okay? Questions of his authority, false teachers. Give me a little more. Okay, what's that? What's that all about?
There is this specific sect of apostles that seem to have convinced the church of their apostleship to be better than Paul's, leading to them believing or maybe thinking that Paul is superior.
What is it about them that may lead others, lead people to think that they're superior and that Paul's inferior? Okay. Maybe it has to do with their words of eloquence. Appearance, huh? Okay, maybe, yeah. Yeah, yeah, I mean, he's going to launch into this whole thing where he keeps talking about he's speaking as a fool. And he's giving his credentials as a, what's the main thing he wants to put on his resume? Suffering. His suffering. So there's a contrast with that. So how does what's going on with the Macedonians, by way of contrast, play into that? Yeah, they have. And so when Paul is asking them to give, he's doing more than simply asking them to contribute to the needs of somebody else outside of the church. He's asking them to identify with him. He's the one that's coming for this. To identify with his weakness, to identify with the gospel. which has the appearance of weakness. There's much deeper pastoral goals that are on Paul's mind as he talks about this. Okay? So it's a bigger piece. But the main thing I want you to see is that this offering, it wasn't primarily for the church at Corinth. It was for other people's needs. So, should we be using this passage for Stewardship Sunday? Very good. If you're going to give your money to other people, right. So let me put it this way with one more illustration. Some of you guys know what this is. It's not done very well. What is this? That's a lamppost. That's exactly right. And this guy here is a drunk leaning against a lamppost. And this is the principle. This is the principle. Some preachers use the Bible like a drunk uses a lamppost more for support than for illumination. More for support than for illumination. What a preacher should do is not lean on the text of Scripture to get done what he wants to get done, but stand under the Word of God. Stand behind the Word of God, as it were, to say what God says, not to use God's Word to say what the preacher wants to say. So every week you step into your study, you've got a question that you've got to ask, and that is, who's going to be king this week? Is it the text, or is it my framework? Now, I may be different than some. I think you can teach on giving from 2 Corinthians 9. But you can't say that that's what this passage is saying. You have to step out to the side and say there's principles that we learn here that would apply to our giving in this situation. But if you don't make the primary application of the generosity to other people in need and how giving sacrificially is linked to our very understanding of the gospel, then you've missed the mark. You've used the text. You've not surrendered and submitted to it. So it's not that we can't use 1 Corinthians 10 to encourage at all. It's not that we can't use 1 Corinthians 9 to teach on giving, but the way we go about doing that is going to be very different if we have surrendered ourselves to let the text say what it's saying instead of using the text to say what we want to say. Does that make sense? I wish I would have helped you see that a little bit better in that particular passage. But hopefully you've got enough to demonstrate the point that I'm trying to make.